direct from Dallas. It's blindbargains.com coverage of ACB 2015. Brought to you by Hims. Your needs are our solutions. Home of the new Smart Beetle Braille display, the eBot video magnifier, and the Blaze ET. Visit www.hims-inc.com.
Hey, did you know there's a whole host of ways that you can listen to our podcasts and interviews? Whether you have an iPhone or Android, whether you have TuneIn Radio, an Amazon Echo, a Victor Reader Stream, a Blaze ET, or your personal computer on QCast, or of course your favorite podcatcher. Thank you so much for listening to the Blind Bargains cast and convention coverage from Orlando and Dallas.
Now, here's Shelley Brisbane.
I'm talking with Dan Roberts, who is the founding director of MD Support, about a very interesting project here at the ACB convention called Low Vis Guide. And I'll let Dan tell you more about it. But basically, it enables attendees at the convention without vision or with low vision to navigate independently through the hotel and conference center. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you asking me to do this, Shelley.
So tell me about Low Vis Guide put it together and what its goals are and just whatever you'd like people to know about it.
Well, Low Vis Guide is an application that is similar to portable GPS. We are familiar with portable GPS through a lot of the work of Mike May, for example, who invented the Trekker. And then we have other products that are using that same technology. The problem with those, of course, is that they only work outdoors, using satellite for GPS or cell towers for cell technology. And we saw last year Liz Chornicht, who is director of Macular Degeneration Foundation. I'm Macular Degeneration Support, and we are partners in the field. She saw at the ACB convention last year that the biggest problem with the conventions like this is people getting around and finding the meeting rooms in a new environment. Even the guide dogs, of course, don't know their way around. They're new, too, so that was a serious problem. She called me and said, Dan, we've got to do something about this. I said, let's go for it, and we spent the last year developing this application, which is using what they call indoor wayfinding technology. It works on beacons instead of cell towers or satellites. Beacons are little batteries, actually, that put out radio signals up to 160 feet. And so we place them all around the convention area, 120 to 160 feet apart, so that they can triangulate a person's location, much like satellites and cell towers triangulate and find people outdoors. Then, previous to the convention, I spend many hours preparing the maps of the venue. And from those maps, the beacons get their information about where things are and where the people are in relation to those rooms and water fountains and restrooms. And therefore, it operates exactly like an outdoor GPS, just using Bluetooth technology instead.
And the user downloads an iPhone or iOS app, so any iOS device with Bluetooth turned on can access the beacon?
The newer iPads, they have to be on operating system 8 or better. They have to be either an iPad 4 or better, higher, or an iPhone 4S or higher. I did that by memory, so I'm pretty proud of myself.
That sounds right. And you don't have an Android app at this time, and I'm not dinging you for that. I just want to clarify for folks that this particular project was iOS.
Android, the way I understand it, and the way the developer of the app, the company that did the coding for us, because I'm certainly not smart enough to do that, told me that Android is difficult, if not impossible, to do something like this with, because Android is many different systems. Motorola uses a different system than Samsung, etc., and there's so many different Androids.
So the Apple devices are connecting. These are iBeacons you're using, which is a technology that Apple is developing or has supported, I guess.
That's right. Apple, all of the products work the same. And so that's an easy system to run this on. If we tried to do Android, we would have to develop a new app for each of the systems. And this system costs many thousands of dollars to just develop it for Apple.
Do you know how many people at ACB have either downloaded or used it?
I was trying to guess. I guess I should have kept better records, but I was so excited when people started lining up that I didn't keep track. There are over 100 people, in my estimation, and I could be low on that estimate, who are actually using the app now.
Tell me what you've been doing during the convention to help people get familiar with it and work with it, because I've seen you out and about. You have a more or less permanent station at the information desk, and you seem to be out there helping a lot of folks.
We're actually doing more than we hope in the future that we don't have to do. Did I say that clearly? What we're there for is to help them if they have problems running it. They do have an instruction manual that I put on the website. If a person were to go there and listen to that manual or read it ahead of time, they wouldn't have to see me. It's very clear. It takes them step by step. Soon, within a few days, there's going to be a FAQ, a frequently asked questions, addition to that because of what we've learned here. And so my job will simply be to help people, I guess, understand the information, just a support system. However, at this point, it's such new technology. Nobody has ever used this before that I know of. And so I'm actually having to teach them the technology. Many of the people that come here have gotten excited and bought a smartphone just for this purpose and haven't yet learned to use the smartphone.
Wow.
And they haven't used VoiceOver before. So I'm having to teach some people how to use an iPad, how to use VoiceOver, which is a whole, weeks of practice in itself. And then that's keeping me very busy. I'm hoping that someday they will come prepared with knowing how to use VoiceOver, knowing how to use the smartphone. And then this is going to be easy for them, because once they understand those difficult steps, understanding the app is very simple.
We're going to do a demo in a minute, but the app itself has speech. So someone would use VoiceOver in order to search or to orient themselves within the app, right?
It is both visual and audible. A visual person, many people have vision and they're still using it because it's very handy for finding rooms in an unknown place, finding your route. It actually will route you to different rooms like a GPS on a car. And on a car GPS, it tells you turn right 100 feet, et cetera, et cetera. That's exactly what this does. And this also shows you a route on a map. Now, that's one of the options. You can look at the map and look at the route, which is a blue line from where you are at the moment to your destination, and very easily move from one to the other. But of course, this is for vision impaired. So you go to another screen where it simply lists the points of interest, and then it will actually guide you to those points of interest through a certain series of steps that I'll show you when we do the demonstration.
So tell me what your plans for the future are. First of all, will the beacons remain in the hotel? Or are you going to take those on to your next project? And is there a plan to do a broad release of this project in some way?
This is the broad release right here. This has gotten a lot of attention in the media, the blind and low vision media. And we're not going to leave the beacons here. They cost me $20 a piece.
That's why I asked.
And we've got over 60 of them up around this area. We will take those down. They're adhered to the wall very gently with removable stickers so that they don't damage the wallpaper. We'll take them down, we'll pack them up, and we'll move on to the next convention, which is actually going to be in Kentucky in August. Put them back up again, remap the entire area, re-fingerprint for location, and do this all over again.
How long does that process take you to get all the beacons and the app talking to each other in the way they need to?
This Sheraton Dallas Dallas Sheraton is a huge venue. It's probably the biggest one we're ever going to have to go to.
Very spread out, too.
Oh, yeah, and four floors. So that took us 2 days just to put up the beacons and get them lined up correctly so they'll triangulate. And then we took another day to fingerprint, which means my wife and I both have an Android phone, which we have to use to do what we call fingerprinting. And that means we take 8-foot distances. We step off 8 feet. We stop for 15 seconds and let the phone that we have in our hand, it's a software that then localizes that point and uploads it to the application. We wait the 15 seconds, it has it uploaded, and we take another 8-foot distance and do it again, over and over and over.
So that's on the Android, even though you can't make that the end user stuff work
right
on the Android.
And that's strange, isn't it?
It is funny.
It takes an Android to do that, but you can't do this with an Android.
Is there anything else our listeners need to know before we get out on the road and do a little demo?
Essentially, that it's brand new technology. It's nothing that anybody's ever seen or used before, so there is a learning curve to it. They should be prepared ahead of time before coming to the convention, because I'm not going to be able to handle as many. I had a little help this time. A young man came in and helped me, and we were doubling up trying to help people, and we still had people waiting in line to help them use the app. That's essentially it. If I had to say one thing to people, that is read the instructions first that are on the web. They're simple, but learn them, learn what it can do, and then read the FAQ just in case. Be prepared. Learn how to use VoiceOver. Learn how to use your smartphone. And then you're going to find this to be very exciting. The people that have come to this who are prepared like that, they take to it like a duck to water. We have a 19-year-old who got it immediately. The younger kids, you know, they're getting it real quick because they know how to use this technology.
Great. Let's go for a demo.
All right. We're going to start now with a tour down the hall. We're going to find a room called Pearl 3. And I'll bring the machine up to the microphone when we're ready here. And we will listen to a tone which is going to take us right to Pearl 3. That's one of the features of the app, because to know where the room is fine, but to know how to get to the room is a whole other matter. So that's what we're going to do now. The first thing I do,
Pearl 5, 7 o'clock, 13,
I go to search.
Search field is editing. Filter. POIs.
I'm going to touch the
dictate
button. We have a search field here. In the search field, I could select the room Pearl 3 from that list, or I could type Pearl 3 into the keypad that has appeared on the screen, or I could dictate it. Now I'm going to avoid saying the word 3 or 4 or 2 or 1, because those can be misinterpreted by the speech software, as many of you probably have recognized now. And so I'm simply going to say Pearl, and that will bring up only things that have to do with Pearl, and that's going to greatly filter out everything else, and then we can just select Pearl 3 from that one. I hope that was clear. So I'm going to hit dictate. I selected it, now I'm going to open it. Pearl.
Done. Pearl.
Now I have a list of options. One of them says
facilities, charging station by Pearl.
Next one says
facilities, men's restroom by Pearl.
Next one says
navigation, Pearl 1, meeting room. Navigation, Pearl 2, meeting. Navigation, Pearl 3.
That's the one we want. Now, all I had was pearls on there, so I didn't have much to have to choose from. That made it nice. Now we're going to go to Pearl 3, the meeting room, and listen to what happens when I hit
navigation. Categories, navigation, meeting room. Description, hotel floor 2.
It reminded me that I was on hotel floor 2, and so was Pearl 3. Now I'm going to hit
favorite.
I don't want to make it one of my favorites yet, so I'm going to go down, over, across to
go to, ellipsis.
That's another button. And I'm going to now select go to button, and we're going to start hearing a tone.
Search, button, next turn, 11 o'clock, 4 feet. Pearl 5, 8 o'clock, 13 feet. Press club, 2 o'clock, 29 feet.
The tone's very quiet.
Pearl 5, 5 o'clock, 13 feet. Press club,
when
3
I do
o'clock,
hear the tone,
feet.
I know I'm off track.
Charging station by Pearl,
now it's
10
also
o'clock,
vibrating.
Feet. Escalator by Skywalk, 6 o'clock, 41 feet. Next turn, 11
I just
o'clock,
turned
41
it.
Feet. Close to Pearl 5.
So it's barely
press club, 6 o'clock,
vibrating. I'm moving it around now. It's not vibrating
Pearl.
At all,
Pearl 4,
and the tone
o'clock,
isn't sounding. We're going to go forward now. And as long as I keep that tone silent, or at least really very low, we're on track. Now I feel it beginning to vibrate, so I'm going to adjust my direction. Okay, good. Now it's not vibrating, and there's no tone.
The further off track you are, the higher the pitch of the tone.
The higher the
is.
Pitch.
And is it louder as well, or just higher pitch?
Well,
close
being higher
five.
Makes it sound
close
louder.
Close to Pearl 4. Charging station by Pearl 2 o'clock, 18 feet.
Now, see, we're hearing
Central
things about the hallway as we go.
Feet.
We're hearing that there was a charging station to our right. We're hearing now that probably that elevators are going to be to our left. I'm going to readjust my...
Next turn. 10 o'clock, 65 feet.
10 o'clock.
Close to
I have
Pearl
to go
4.
To 10 o'clock.
Pearl 5, 5 o'clock, 34 feet. Close to charging station by Pearl. Center tower elevators 8 o'clock 17 feet. Next turn, 11 o'clock 27 feet. Charging station by Pearl 3 o'clock 37 feet.
Pearl I'm 4, keeping 4 o'clock, the tone silent
Pearl
and 5, no vibration.
4 o'clock, 64 feet.
And right here, I'm knocking on the door to Pearl 3. All right, we made it. Congratulations.
Yay. Excellent. So when it's done, then you just cancel your route, and then you can...
Then I can go somewhere else
go
if somewhere I want
else to. Somewhere else if you want to. So let me ask you about some of the features that you included in the app. I noticed that there were categories for items that you could find. There are meeting rooms, there are hotel facilities, there's food. If I go to one of those categories, can I browse through a list, or must I search in order to find what I'm after?
Yeah, that will give you a list, and... We did that because some people are overwhelmed by having to hear all the rooms when all they want to do is go to the restroom. So you can simply go to the proper button on the app, and it'll take you to what's called categories, and you can just select facilities. Facilities means charging stations, restrooms, dog relief areas.
And as we saw in the demo, as you're passing, you'll hear things like escalators and restrooms and charging stations called out. So if you don't want to search, but you're in the general area where beacons exist, then hopefully you'll encounter a restroom if that's what you need at some point.
Oh, yeah. If you're just walking around, you're going to hear where the restroom is eventually.
So tell me what the low vision experience is like, because VoiceOver is used to run the app, but you have speech in the app. If I'm a low vision person, I can not only visually look at a map, but I can also use the speech whether VoiceOver is on or not, right?
That's right.
And tell me how I can interact with the map if I have vision.
If you have vision, you don't need the VoiceOver at all.
Right.
You can just turn it off. It'll still work without VoiceOver.
Right. That's the point I was getting at is that the speech that guides you is actually not dependent on having VoiceOver on. And then in addition, there's a map that indicates where the room that's labeled with the rooms in the hotel. But as I'm taking a route, if I have vision, I'm getting visual guidance on the screen too, right?
Right. There's a map view, which if a visual person would use the map. And now the map's very small on an iPhone. iPad, it's a nice size map, but you would actually have a route on the map shown to you to show you what we were just doing going down the hall and show us how to get to that room.
And when I open the map up, there's an arrow that indicates my current position, and then if I route, then there's a line that shows the route that I should take?
That's right, just like a GPS in a car.
And we were doing our demo with the iPad, and I originally used an iPhone 6, and you're right that it's quite small. Even when I zoomed in, I had some difficulty getting it to the level I needed to, but I assume that on an iPad, it's probably a better experience if you want to use the map to get around.
Definitely better.
Great.
Bigger is better.
Thanks a lot, Dan. This is really interesting technology, and I look forward to seeing it at many blindness and other similar events around the country.
Well, thank you for your time giving this to us, Shelley, because I want to get this word around.
Hey, what'd you think of that interview? Let us know what you think at blindbargains.com, and you can leave a comment on the post for this interview. Or, if you want, you can email feedback@blindbargains.com. We may use your comments on the air. Thanks so much for listening to Blind Bargains Convention Coverage.
Exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys, online at atguys.com.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2015.